ಗಣೇಶಾಯ ನಮಃ ಸರಸ್ವತ್ಯೈ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ ನಿಧನಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ ನಿಧನಪತಾಂತಿಕಾಯ ನಮಃ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಾಯ ನಮಃ ಊರ್ಧ್ವಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಹಿರಣ್ಯಾಯ ನಮಃ ಹಿರಣ್ಯಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಸುವರ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಸುವರ್ಣಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ದಿವ್ಯಾಯ ನಮಃ ದಿವ್ಯಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಭವಾಯ ನಮಃ ಭವಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶರ್ವಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶರ್ವಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶಿವಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶಿವಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಜ್ವಲಾಯ ನಮಃ ಜ್ವಲಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಆತ್ಮಾಯ ನಮಃ ಆತ್ಮಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಪರಮಾಯ ನಮಃ ಪರಮಲಿಂಗಾಯ ನಮಃ ಏತತ್ ಸೋಮಸ್ಯ ಸೂರ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಲಿಂಗಗ್ಸ್ಥಾಪಯತಿ ಪಾಣಿಮಂತ್ರಂ ಪವಿತ್ರಂ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಜಾತಂ ಪ್ರಪದ್ಯಾಮಿ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಜಾತಾಯ ವೈ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ನಾತಿ ಭವೇ ಭವಸ್ವ ಮಾಂ ಭವೋದ್ಭವಾಯ ನಮಃ ವಾಮದೇವಾಯ ನಮೋ ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ನಮೋ ರುದ್ರಾಯ ನಮಃ ಕಾಲಾಯ ನಮಃ ಕಲವಿಕರಣಾಯ ನಮೋ ಬಲವಿಕರಣಾಯ ನಮೋ ಬಲಾಯ ನಮೋ ಬಲಪ್ರಮದನಾಯ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವಭೂತದಮನಾಯ ನಮೋ ಮನೋನ್ಮನಾಯ ನಮಃ ಅಘೋರೇಭ್ಯೋಥಘೋರೇಭ್ಯೋ ಘೋರಘೋರತರೇಭ್ಯಃ ಸರ್ವೇಭ್ಯಃ ಸರ್ವಸರ್ವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಅಸ್ತು ರುದ್ರರೂಪೇಭ್ಯಃ ತತ್ಪುರುಷಾಯ ವಿದ್ಮಹೆ ಮಹಾದೇವಾಯ ಧೀಮಹಿ ತನ್ನೋ ರುದ್ರಃ ಪ್ರಚೋದಯಾತ್ ಈಶಾನಃ ಸರ್ವವಿದ್ಯಾನಾಮೀಶ್ವರಃ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಧಿಪತಿರ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣೋಧಿಪತಿರ್ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಶಿವೋ ಮೇ ಅಸ್ತು ಸದಾ ಶಿವೋ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ.
ಸರ್ವ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಗೋಚರಂ ತಮಗೋಚರಂ ಸಾಯಿ ಗೋವಿಂದಂ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಂ ಪ್ರಣತೋಸ್ಮ್ಯಹಂ. ಐ ಆಫರ್ ಮೈ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಲವ್ಡ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹೂಸ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಇಸ್ ಬ್ಲಿಸ್ ಇನ್ ಫೈನೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೂಸ್ ನೋನ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದಿ ಇಂಪೋರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವೇದಾಂತ. ರಿಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಎಲ್ಡರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮೈ ಡಿಯರ್ ಬ್ರದರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸಿಸ್ಟರ್ಸ್, ಅ ಲವಿಂಗ್ ಸಾಯಿರಾಮ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು. It is said that in the Mahabharata there is a conversation between Krishna and Duryodhana, and Krishna asks Duryodhana, Duryodhana my friend, don't you know what is right and what is wrong? Don't you know what is dharma and adharma? To this Duryodhana says, Krishna, I know exactly what is the truth and what is untruth. I know exactly what is dharma and what is adharma, but it is not in my nature to follow dharma. It is not in my prakriti to follow dharma. This conversation from the Mahabharata gives us a very important insight into the world of spirituality. It tells us that knowing what is right, what is wrong, what is spiritual, what is not enough. One has to transform one's basic nature to practice those things in our lives. For more than 40 years now, the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning has been pursuing this ideal. One of the ways in which the university aims at translating spirituality into action is through the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. Bhagwan started the summer course more than 40 years ago. And the focus of this summer course is exposing the students of this university to the greatest ideals and the Bharatiya culture, the Bharatiya way of life, so that students get motivated, get inspired, embed these teachings into their lives, into their nature, and translate these teachings so that they can go out and then serve the society. It is with immense grace of Swami that this wonderful tradition has been going on. And this year too, the summer course on Indian culture and spirituality commenced today. The summer course happens in two parts. First, we have the morning sessions in the Purnachandra Auditorium. And in the evening, in the Sai Kulwant Hall, students from Bhagwan's institutions will come and share their thoughts and their experiences on Indian culture and spirituality. For today's evening session, we have with us three speakers. The first speaker for the evening will be Ms. Suhasini Yellai. Ms. Suhasini is currently pursuing her BSc Honours in Biosciences from the Anantapur campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. Her talent lies in creative writing, dance, music and drama, having won several prizes in these areas. She will be summarizing the day session of the summer course. The second speaker for the evening is Sri M. Sai Ganesh. He is pursuing his MSc in Mathematics from the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. In addition to excelling in academics, Sai Ganesh is also an actor and a voiceover artist, having lent his voice for the Tamil translations of Bhagwan's discourses at the hostel. He will be talking to us today on some insights from the great epic Ramayana. The third speaker for the evening is Sri R. Sai Swarup. He is pursuing his BSc Honours in Biosciences from the Vrindavan campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. In addition to excelling in academics, Sai Swarup is part of the Vedam group and is also an ace badminton player. He will be talking to us today on some insights from the Bhagavad Gita. These talks will then be followed by a musical offering by the students of the Vrindavan and the Mudhanali campuses of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. The program will conclude with bhajans and Mangalarti. I now request the speakers to address all of us in the order in which their names have been mentioned. Sai Ram.
Shri Sai Ram, I offer my most humble and reverential pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, I have the pleasant duty this evening of reading out the summary of the first day's proceedings of the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality 2014, held at Prashanthi Nilayam. The summer course in Indian culture and spirituality 2014 commenced with an invocatory Vedam chanting of the Ganapati Atharva Sirsham by the students of the Mudanhalli campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. This was followed by a welcome note delivered by Dr. T. Ravikumar, Associate Professor, Department of Chemistry, and the Warden of the Vrindavan campus of the Institute. He began with the historical background of the summer course, describing how it was started by Bhagwan in 1972 at Vrindavan and consisted of student participants from all over the country. Bhagavan, on seeing the sorry plight of India today, took up the task of educating the youth in Indian culture and spirituality and exposing them to the great heritage of Bharat. Now, we have an abridged version of the summer course held for 2.5 days in June of every year. Dr. Ravi Kumar emphasized that through the summer courses, Bhagavan wants the students to know about Indian culture so that they may transform themselves into ideal citizens of Bharat. The Vice Chancellor of our institute, Professor J. Shashidhara Prasad, began his inaugural address by highlighting the three conflicts that persist in the universe: that of man versus nature, man versus society, and man versus self, which have led to the physical, mental, and spiritual sciences, respectively. He mentioned that 95% of the universe is made up of dark energy and dark matter, and only 5% is made up of known substances, emphasizing the fact that there is more unknown matter in the universe than known matter, and that the physical and mental sciences alone cannot explain many of the phenomena in the universe. For this, we need to turn to spirituality. He went on to say that many of the spiritual texts speak of the immortality of the soul. They declare that the soul has neither birth nor death. It is invisible and minuscule, and it is the one thing that unifies all levels of existence, since it is all-pervasive. Therefore, the soul is a common undercurrent of the three sciences. Since man does not realize this fact, divinity manifests itself from time to time to teach us this fundamental truth. The Vice Chancellor then narrated an anecdote from the life of the great scientist Albert Einstein, wherein a student of his pointed out an error in Einstein's reasoning, and Einstein exhibited the humility of a true scientist and accepted his mistake. In appreciating spirituality, one requires greater humility and intuitive abilities. Professor Shashidhara Prasad concluded his informative talk by expressing the hope that the deliberations of the 3-day summer course will help us to connect to Bhagavan. The first speaker of the first day of the summer course was Professor Nanjunda Dixit. Professor Dixit worked for 3 decades as professor of history at Christ College, Bangalore. He is well known as the chief priest of the Atirudra Mahayajna conducted at Prashanti Nilayam in 2006 in the divine physical presence of Bhagavan. He spoke on the significance of culture in human development. He started on a personal note, mentioning his short but intense association with Bhagavan, where he related to Bhagavan as friend, philosopher, guide, and God. He spoke of how the world today is in a state of crisis, rife with misunderstandings, mistrust, lack of respect for women, unnecessary competition, etc., the cause of which he identified as egoism. He cited how even Bhagavan's principal teaching is to destroy the ego. He reiterated that culture is essential for human development and mentioned the definition of culture as given by the first vice chancellor of our university, Professor V.K. Gokak, who said that culture is a complex whole of knowledge, customs, beliefs, faiths, morality, and spirituality. Professor Dixit went on to emphasize the distinction between civilization and culture, saying that the external habits and appearance, which designate how civilized a person is, do not, however, indicate their level of culture. Civilization is what we are, while culture refers to what we ought to be. He expressed his dislike at the abuse of the word culture in the present-day scenario of growing materialism, and emphasized the urgent need for cultural rejuvenation in order to motivate young people. He insisted that spirituality has no age barrier, as seen in the examples of Sri Adi Shankara, Swami Vivekananda, and Jesus Christ. He gave a rich description of how, in ancient times, culture grew around beautiful temple structures, as temples were centers of religion, education, judiciary, architecture, and the performing arts. Towards the end of his talk, Professor Dixit said that culture should be used to help us to correct our mistakes. And he ended by saying that Bhagavan's timeless message of love all, serve all, is the panacea for all the ills of modern day society. This was followed by a short ceremony organized by the Institute to felicitate some of the very senior teachers and to express gratitude to them for their invaluable contributions to the cause of Satya Sai education. The Institute also welcomed the 9 new faculty members that have recently come into the fold. The morning session ended with an exciting interactive session of Bhajan Antakshari, conducted by Sri Ame Deshpande and Sri Siddhartha of the Institute. It consisted of 9 rounds of increasing difficulty, including translation, visual interpretation, etc. The session was based on the 4 types of Sankirtanas as told by Bhagavan, namely Namakirtana, Bhavakirtana, Leela Kirtan, and Gunakirtana. The various rounds were met with much enthusiasm from the 4 competing teams as well as the audience. In the post-lunch interactive session of the summer course, the students were divided into groups and study circles were organized to discuss 2 of the divine discourses given by Bhagavan in 1992 at the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality held at Vrindavan. The discussions were facilitated by faculty members in the respective groups. This concluded the first day's proceedings of the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality, June 2014. Thank you, and Jai Sai Ram.
Shri Sairam. With humility and gratitude, I offer myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters, Sairam to all of you. It's a great privilege for me to be here today and talk to all of you on a topic from the great epic Ramayana. Though the story of Ramayana is itself more than 10,000 years old, it continues to inspire millions of people across the world even today and will continue to do so as long as human beings exist on this planet. Every character in Ramayana teaches us something. Many of them tell us how we should be and many of them tell us how we shouldn't be. The characters and the values that they stand for are relevant for each and every one of us. So today, I shall talk about 2 very important characters from Ramayana, Lakshmana and Bharata, the fortunate brothers of Lord Sri Rama, and see what lessons we can learn from them. It is impossible to talk about Rama without talking about Lakshmana. For Lakshmana had the greatest good fortune of being in Rama's physical company all the time. And this bonding between the brothers started to develop even as they were just newborn infants. Since his birth, Lakshmana was weeping continuously, clamoring for something which nobody could discover. None of the treatments worked and the wailing just kept increasing every day. Sage Vasishtha, the guru of Ikshvaku dynasty, knew this reason for the unique behavior of Lakshmana and advised Sumitra to take Lakshmana and lay him by the side of Rama in Rama's cradle. And when that was done, the wailing stopped instantly. The play began. From then onwards, Lakshmana never left Rama's company. Whether it was to go along with him to protect the yajna of sage Vishwamitra, or to accompany him to the forest for exile while the exile itself was meant only for Rama and not for Lakshmana, Lakshmana never missed any opportunity to be with Rama. To him, the only thing that ever mattered was Rama and his welfare, and nothing else mattered to him. When Rama was ordered to go to the forest for 14 years, Lakshmana went wild. He couldn't control himself. He was ready to destroy anybody whom he thought could oppose Rama, be it Dasaratha or even his brother Bharata. In the forest, Lakshmana felt that his only duty was to serve Rama and Mother Sita and ensure that somehow both of them are comfortable. For that sake, sometimes he used to even forgo his own sleep, hunger and comfort. The greatness of Lakshmana's character reveals itself in many places in Ramayana. Once, when Sugriva placed a cloth before Lakshmana and Rama, containing some of the jewels which Mother Sita had dropped from above when she was being taken away by Ravana, Lakshmana was asked to identify those jewels by Rama. Taking a look at them, Lakshmana says, Naham janami keyure, naham janami kankane, nupure tve janami, nityam padabhi vandanat. Lakshmana couldn't identify any other jewel other than Mother Sita's ankle bells, and that too because he used to worship her feet every day to take her blessings. He used to revere Mother Sita as his own mother. But the most important virtue of Lakshmana, which all of us have to learn, is his surrender to Lord Rama's will. In Panchavati, on the banks of river Godavari, Rama once asked Lakshmana to select a beautiful spot in that area and build a small cottage there for the three of them, as Lakshmana wished. Now that might sound like a very simple command to many of us, but not to Lakshmana. He was completely taken aback by this. With so much of pain in his heart, he asked Rama as to what crime he had committed to hear such cruel command from Rama. When did Lakshmana start having his own preferences? His only possession was Rama. His only wishes were that of Rama's, and his only will was that of Rama. And that is the reason why Lakshmana is often regarded as Rama's shadow. And this was acknowledged by none other than the Lord himself. In the battlefield in Lanka, when Lakshmana was engaged in a fierce battle with Indrajit, due to one of the arrows shot by Indrajit, Lakshmana fell unconscious. And at that point of time, with Lakshmana on his lap, Rama behaved like a mere mortal. He wondered that even if it was possible to find a mother like Kausalya, a wife like Sita, it is impossible to find a brother like Lakshmana. Even Rama could not bear a few hours of separation from Lakshmana. The shadow cannot be separated from the object. And if Lakshmana was a shadow of Rama, then Bharata was his mirror image. Bharata was a very embodiment of prema. He was filled with so much of love for Rama. And the simple incident from their childhood goes to show how much love Bharata had for Rama. Even as they were kids, the four brothers used to play some games with each other, and usually it turned out that Rama was a victor. But once for a change, Rama decided to give up and gave Bharata a chance to win. But Bharata was not happy with that. After the game was over, instead of enjoying his sweet victory, Bharata went straight to his mother, crying out because Rama had lost the game. That was the love that Bharata had for Rama. But he was not fortunate to be in Rama's physical company all the time, something that Lakshmana had. I have personally felt that in many places in Ramayana, Bharata was quite unlucky. For no apparent reason, for no apparent fault of his, fate was punishing him. He too was very eagerly waiting to see Rama getting coronated as a king of Ayodhya. But upon reaching Ayodhya, he was shocked to see what was happening. There was sadness everywhere, no joy, no signs of festivity. And when the news of the tragic death of his father and the exile of his brother Rama, along with Lakshmana and Sita, was communicated to him, Bharata was crestfallen. Swami says that the pain of separation from Rama to him was much more painful than even the death of his own father. Bharata says, Ayodhyam atavi bhutam pitra bhrata chavarjitam. Ayodhya, according to him, had become a dreary desert the moment Rama had left the city. To make matters worse, Bharata came to know that his own mother, Kekeyi, was responsible for all the calamities that had occurred. And in that situation, Guru Vasishta asked Bharata to perform the last rites of his father and take over as the king of Ayodhya. Bharata was never interested in becoming the king. He never wanted to become the king of Ayodhya. He always wanted to see only Rama as a king of Ayodhya. Blaming himself for all that happened, calling himself a vile sinner, the pure-hearted Bharata set out on a mission. Along with his ministers, his mothers, and many people from Ayodhya, he went to the forest to meet Rama and tried to somehow convince him and get him back to Ayodhya. But that was not going to happen. Rama would never go back on his promise. In the debate that followed, when the two brothers met, Bharata realized that fate had decreed that only Lakshmana would get the opportunity to be with Rama. Bharata had no choice but to go back to Ayodhya, as said by the elders. Bharata went back to Ayodhya, but not as a ruler, but as a caretaker of the kingdom, which rightfully belonged to his elder brother, whose sandals were enthroned as a ruler. The way Bharata conducted himself in those 14 years is a lesson for each one of us. Bharata never lived in the palace. He lived the life of an ascetic in the village Nandigram, just outside the city of Ayodhya, while most of the country's affairs were being managed by Shatrughna. He was yearning for Rama continuously, and every moment he was thinking only about Rama. If Rama wore ochre robe, he too wore ochre robe. Rama wore barefoot, walked barefoot, he too did the same. Rama didn't have a bed of rose to sleep on. Bharata too didn't want one. Bharata was contemplating on Rama all the time, waiting for those 14 terrible years of separation to come to an end. And at the end of 14 years, Bharata started reflecting Rama himself. When Rama came back, all of them went in a procession to Ayodhya, and the people of Ayodhya were confused as to who was Rama and who was Bharata, because both of them looked very similar and they were not able to make out the difference between them. Bharata became the mirror image of Rama. Now the lesson that we learn from both of them is very simple. Lakshmana followed Rama. Bharata reflected Rama. Lakshmana teaches each and every one of us that the ideal way by which we can show our love to Swami is to follow him, is to follow his message. Swami often says, my life is my message. He also goes on to say that we should lead our lives in such a way that our lives become his message. And that can happen only if we surrender our thoughts and our will to him, letting him carry out his will through each one of us. Bharata teaches us that the yearning to be with God is more important than even being in his physical presence. For the latter, being in his physical presence is a fortune that very few people get. But the yearning to be with God is something that each one of us can have, and that is very powerful. Praying to Swami that we imbibe these lessons and follow them in our own lives and live up to his expectations, I end this talk here. Jai Sairam.
Vedasya saram pravadanti gitam
Tadeva satyam kalu dharma matha Vedasya saram pravadanti gita Tadeva satyam kalu dharma matha Patatat vindate jnanam Chittasya annam hridayasya toyam Tasmat mahatam Gitam smaranam karishye. The essence of Vedas is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Gita indeed is a treasure of knowledge. It is a food for thought and it is also a coolant for the heart. To that Lord who is the embodiment of Bhagavad Gita, I offer my humble salutations. Respected elders, my dear brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to one and all present here. It is said that Santoshaha eva balasya adaraha. A snake remains healthy only by drinking water. A hermit who has power to control the entire universe lives on roots and fruits. Therefore, happiness is the only source of strength. Bhagavad Gita is one such book that gives eternal happiness to everyone. What is Bhagavad Gita? Gita means rules, regulations, instructions for a day-to-day life. There are different types of Gita, namely Uddhava Gita, Vidura Gita, etc. However, Bhagavad Gita gets a special importance because it was told by Krishna, that is the divine Lord, to man. That is Arjuna. When I say the word Bhagavad Gita, two questions come to our mind. One, why was it told in a battlefield? Two, why was it told only to Arjuna? The word Kuru Kshetra, Kuru means to do, Kshetra means place, which means the place of action. Swami explains this beautifully. He says, our human mind is in constant conflict between good and bad qualities. And when man surrenders to the God, then he gets over his bad qualities and gets success. And this is a symbolic representation of the human mind. Question number two. Why was it told only to Arjuna? Swami gives answer for this question also. He says, Bhishma was embodiment of Dharma. But he kept quiet when Draupadi was disrobed. Drona had too much attachment towards his son. Yudhishthira had paschatapa and realized the effects and consequences of the war after the war was fought. Bhima had anger in him. However, it was Arjuna who had the right doubt at the right time, and hence Swami says he was the right person to be told. What are the lessons learned from Bhagavad Gita? There are numerous lessons learned, and I'll try to list out a few of them. Lesson number one. Think before you act. Arjuna portrays this very beautifully. Arjuna says to Krishna, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratam Sthapaya Mechuta. O Lord Krishna, place my chariot in such a way that I can see the Pandavas as well as the Kauravas. However, when he sees Bhishma and Drona, he gets totally confused. He foresees the consequences of the war and he falls at the feet of Krishna. Lesson number two. When someone is confused, ask help from God. Arjuna exactly did the same thing. When he was totally confused, he fell at the feet of the Lord and said, Lord, I am not able to fight. Tell me what I have to do. And that's where Krishna starts. He starts beautifully. He says, Klaibhyam vas magamav partha naitat vayyupa padyate kshudram hridaya dhaurbalyam tyaktvo uttishta parantapa. What he says, Arjuna, you don't be like a spineless coward. Just get up and fight. And further, Arjuna gives a blame reason where he says, Karpanya dosho pahiti swabhavaha. Krishna, I'm caught between the bonds of compassion and I'm not able to make any judgment. There again, Krishna says beautifully, he says, Ashochayan anvashochastvam prajnya vadamcha bhashase gata asuna gata asuncha nanu sochanti panditaha.
where Krishna says that Arjuna, you speak like a scholar, but a scholar does not distinguish between a living man and a dead man. Through this, Krishna slowly starts teaching Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Lesson number 3. Only God is eternal and the world is impermanent. Dehi nosmin yata dehe kaumaram yavaram jara. Krishna says the soul wears different bodies during different parts of life. At first, it is an infant, then a schoolboy, and so on it goes, and finally, when the old man dies, it gets another body and starts a new birth. So, the entire world is impermanent and only God is eternal. Control of senses. This is a very important lesson that everyone have to learn. Krishna says, Matra sparshatu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkhadaha agama payinaha anityaha tam titikshasva bharata. Where Krishna says, Matra sparshatu kaunteya, the entire world is learnt by a human being only through his sense organs. If he cuts this contact, then he thinks of only God, then one can control his sense organs. Further, he says, Tam titikshasva bharata. The reason is that if a person who has controlled his sense organs sees another one who is enjoying the world, then he automatically gets tempted to enjoy this world. So Krishna says, always bear everything, whatever you see, and see the world with the eyes of God. Then very next important lesson which we learn is control of anger. Sangat sanjayate kamaha, kamat krodho abhijayate, krodat bhavati sammohaha, sammohat smriti vibhramaha, smriti vibhramshat buddhinashaha, buddhinashat pranashyati. If you want to find a solution for some problem, we should know what is the cause for it. And that's what Krishna says. He says, desire is the root cause for a person to get angry. And therefore, he says, cut off your desires, then your anger will be automatically cut. Shishupala is the best example for this. Shishupala had a great anger towards Krishna. He insulted Krishna in the Rajasuya Yajna, forgetting his own limitations. And ultimately, he died in the hands of Krishna. What are the qualities of a devotee expected by Lord? This is another beautiful message of Gita. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yomad bhakta same priyaha tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnani prayatatmanaha. A person who surrenders the leaf of his body, the fruit of his heart, the flower of his heart, the fruit of his actions, and the tears of joy that come from his eyes to the Lord, then he is a true devotee. Further, he goes on to say, Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. Adveshta sarva bhutanam, a person who sees the entire world as God. Maitra karuna evacha, who is always full of love and compassion. Nirmamo nirahankaraha, who is without ego. Samadukka sukaha kshamim, who is always in equanimity, The last lesson which I want to mention is that of surrender. Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja ahamtva sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami masuchaha. Where Krishna says, when someone surrenders to the Lord completely egoless, that is without body attachment, and thinks of only God and behaves as an ideal instrument, then the God is ready to give him liberation. At this juncture, I like to narrate a small incident which happened during the Atirudra Mahayajna. Swami asked one of his students to speak about surrender. The student spoke well. However, Swami said that he was not satisfied with him. The student was much broken. He wept badly. After a few days, Swami called him and said, that day you spoke so much about surrender, but where is surrender in you? This is the most profound question that all of us have to answer. Bhagavad Gita talks of three important parts or three important ways to reach God. Namely, the karma, bhakti and jnana. And there is always a constant conflict between the greatness of every path. Swami explained this very beautifully. Karma cannot exist without having devotion or jnana, nor bhakti can exist without having karma and jnana. The similar thing applies to jnana also. Therefore, all are completely dependent on each other. In other words, they can be stated as the one and the same, and all three are the different stages of the maturation of the human mind. Swami compares this to a, compares karma to a flower. He says karma is like a flower and bhakti is like an unripe fruit. When this unripe fruit matures, it becomes jnana, which ultimately leads to the liberation. Bhagavad Gita finally ends with a beautiful note of Sanjaya, where he says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishnaha, Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruvanetir Matir Mama. Where Sanjaya says, wherever there is divine Lord, and wherever there is a sincere devotee like Arjuna, then there is success. I like to tell everyone a small thing. Krishna lived in Dwapara Yuga, and now we have Swami with us. The question which we have to answer ourselves is that, are we all ready to become his Arjunas? With these words, I like to take a break. Thank you for your patient listening. Jai Sai Ram.
Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Mudenahalli Campus, offer our loving pranams at the lotus feet of our dearest Mother Sai. Swami, this evening we offer a musical presentation, a bouquet of three songs and an instrumental at your lotus feet as an expression of our love and gratitude towards you.
మాకు దూరమైన నీవు పంచిన మధుర స్మృతులు మా మదిలో ఎల్లప్పుడూ మెలుగుతూనే ఉంటాయి. మిమ్మల్ని ఆనందపరచుటకు, అలనాటి జ్ఞాపకాలను గుర్తు చేయుటకు మేము చేసే ఈ చిరు ప్రయత్నాన్ని స్వీకరించండి. స్వామి, మీచే రచింపబడి మీ చేత స్వరాలు సమకూర్చుకొని మా అందరి హృదయాల్లో నిలిచిపోయిన శ్రీ గణేష శివుని కుమార అను ఈ గీతాన్ని మీ దివ్య పద్మ పాదాల చెంత సమర్పిస్తున్నాము.
Shri Ganesha, Shivuni Kumara, Shrita Jana Vinuta Prabho, Prabho, Shrita Jana Vinuta Prabho. Shri Ganesha, Shivuni Kumara, Shrita Jana Vinuta Prabho, Prabho, Shrita Jana Vinuta Prabho. Shri Gananatha Sevita Pada,
Shri Gananatha Sevita Pada,
Shri Gananatha Sevita Pada, Shri Gananatha Sevita Pada, Nagati Nivani Namiti Sada, Nagabharana Nanudaya Gonava. Shri Ganesha, Shivuni Kumara, Shrita Jana Vinuta Prabhu, Prabhu, Shrita Jana Vinuta Prabhu.
दूर रह पाएंगे तेरी यादों के गीत हमेशा गुनगुनाएंगे अकेले ना छोड़ो कभी हमें साई तुम बिन हम तो अधूरे ही रह जाएंगे तेरे संग रहने की तमन्ना में हम डूबे हैं तेरे प्यार के सागर में हम में भर दे इसके प्यार के रंग क्योंकि हमें जीना है तेरे संग
इतना आसान नहीं है जी राम
हमने रह कर भी देखा अकेले हमने रह कर भी देखा अकेले जीवन में रहती न कोई उमंग अकेले पड़ जाएंगे हम वही होता है हरदम अंधेरा
जहाँ ज्योति जलती तुम्हारी वहाँ होता है हरदम सवेरा
तेरे हाथों की किरणें जहाँ पहुँचे तेरे हाथों की किरणें जहाँ पहुँचे वहीं जाकर बस जाएंगे हम अकेले पड़ जाएंगे हम साई रहना हमारे संग कोई दो दिन का रिश्ता नहीं है कई जन्मों का तुझसे है बंधन अकेले पड़ जाएंगे साई रहना हमारे संग
साई रहना हमारे संग
ಕೃತಯುಗದಲ್ಲಿ ಧ್ಯಾನದ ಮೂಲಕ ತ್ರೇತಾಯುಗದಲ್ಲಿ ಪೂಜಿಸುವ ಮೂಲಕ ಹಾಗೂ ದ್ವಾಪರಯುಗದಲ್ಲಿ ಯಜ್ಞ ಯಾಗಾದಿಗಳ ಮೂಲಕ ಭಕ್ತರು ದೇವರನ್ನು ಒಲಿಸಿಕೊಳ್ಳುತ್ತಿದ್ದರು ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹೇಳಿರುವಂತೆ ಕಲಿಯುಗದಲ್ಲಿ ನಾಮಸ್ಮರಣೆಯೇ ದೇವರನ್ನು ಒಲಿಸಿಕೊಳ್ಳಲು ಭಕ್ತರಿಗಿರುವ ಒಂದು ಉತ್ತಮವಾದ ಸಾಧನ ನಮ್ಮ ಪೂರ್ವದ ಪಾಪಗಳನ್ನು ಕಳೆದುಕೊಳ್ಳಲು ಹರಿನಾಮದ ಮೊರೆ ಹೋಗುವುದಕ್ಕಿಂತ ಸುಲಭವಾದ ಮಾರ್ಗ ಇನ್ನೊಂದಿಲ್ಲ ಇಂಥನ ಸಾಧನವನ್ನು ಈ ಭಕ್ತಿಗೀತೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ವರ್ಣಿಸಲಾಗಿದೆ ಹರಿನಾಮವೇ ಚಂದ
ಬಂದು
ತಂದೆಯಂತೆ ಬಂದು ತಲೆ ಬಾಗನಯ್ಯ ಬಂದು
ಸಂತನೆಂದು ಗುಣವಂತನೆಂದು ಭಗವಂತನೆಂದು ಕೊರೆವ
ಧನ್ಯನಾಗೋ ಜಗಮಾನ್ಯನಾಗೋ ಧನ ಸೌಭಾಗ್ಯ ಕೊಡುವ
ಪರತ್ಪರ ಹರಿ ವಿಠಲ
ಪರತ್ಪರ ವರ ವಿಠಲ
Darshan gave us the spirit to live. But when we feel alone, we realize that you are the indweller. You are the Anathanatha. You are the Deena Bandhu. Remembering you thus, we present before you an instrumental offering, Antaranga Sai.
Ooh.
என்னுள்ளம் கவர்ந்தானே அந்தர்கோல நேரங்கள் அந்தர்கோல நேரங்கள் எந்த முதலே மற்றொன்றுமில்லாக கவனிப்பகாரே ரேமபனி பவனி சானித பக கமனி பகாரே ரேமபதரே பகாரே ரேபஜனி மபசானி சரினி சதனி பதததா பகாரே
ब्रह्मनुमिल्द्रनो
ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನು ಮಿಲ್ದನು ಮನದಲ್ ಪುರಾಮೈ ಕೊಳ್ಳ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮನು ಮಿಲ್ದನು ಮನದಲ್ ಪುರಾಮೈ ಕೊಳ್ಳ ಊರಲ್ಲಿ ಕಟ್ಟಿ ವಾಯ್ಪುತಿ ಊರಲ್ಲಿ ಕಟ್ಟಿ ವಾಯ್ಪುತಿ ಕಿಂಜವೇತ ಊರಲ್ಲಿ ಕಟ್ಟಿ ವಾಯ್ಪುತಿ ಕಿಂಜವೇತ ಕಣ್ಣರೆ ಊರಲ್ಲಿ ಕಟ್ಟಿ ವಾಯ್ಪುತಿ ಕಿಂಜವೇತ ತಾಯೇ ತವೋ ಸೇದನೆ ಕಣ್ಣನೆ ಊರಲ್ಲಿ ಕಟ್ಟಿ ವಾಯ್ಪುತಿ ಕಿಂಜವೇತ ತಾಯೇ ತವೋ ಸೇದನೆ ಯಶೋದ ಎಂಬುಂ ನಿಲೈ ಪರಬ್ರಹ್ಮನ್ ಅಮ್ಮ ಎಂದ್ರೈಕ ಎನ್ನ ತವೋ ಸೇದರೆ ಯಶೋದ
ಸಫರ್ ಹೇ ಜಿಂದಗಿ के बस एक झोंके का सफर है जिंदगी, झूम ले हंस बोल ले। अजनबी हालात से भी हंस के मिलना चाहिए, अजनबी हालात से भी हंस के मिलना चाहिए। हर कदम पर मुड़ने वाली रह गुजर है जिंदगी, हर कदम पर मुड़ने वाली रह गुजर है जिंदगी। सांस के बस एक झोंके का सफर है जिंदगी, सांस के बस एक झोंके का सफर है जिंदगी। झूम ले हंस बोल ले प्यारे अगर है जिंदगी, झूम ले हंस बोल ले प्यारे अगर है जिंदगी।
Dinan yennai pol veravar kandai. ದೀನ ಶರಣ್ಯನ್ ಎನ್ನುಂ புகழ் கொண்டாய் ದೀನನ್ என்னை போல் வேறவர் கண்டாய் ஸ்ரீநிவாஸ திருவேங்கடமுடையன் ஜெய கோவிந்த முகுந்த ஆனந்த ஸ்ரீநிவாஸ திருவேங்கடமுடையன் ஜகம் புகழும் ஏழ்மலை மாயவனே ஜகம் புகழும் ஏழ்மலை மாயவனே திருமகளமே மங்கை மணாளனே ஜகம் புகழும் ஏழ்மலை மாயவனே திருமகளமே மங்கை மணாளனே ஜகநாதா
பாலக மங்களதாயக Gopala, Gopala, नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो महादेव बोलो जय पांडुरंग बोलो साई नाम बोलो गोविंद नाम बोलो राम कृष्ण बोलो जय बुद्ध साई
नारायण हरि हरि ओम नारायण हरि हरि ರೂಪ ವಾಸುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ ವಾಸುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಸುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ ವಾಸುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ಓಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ ವಾಸುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ವಿಶ್ವರೂಪ ವಾಸುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ರಾಮಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಸುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಹರಿಹರಿ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರಿ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸತ್ಯ ಸಾಯಿ ಹರಿ ಭಕ್ತ ಜನ ಸಂರಕ್ಷಕ ಭಕ್ತ ಜನ ಸಂರಕ್ಷಕ ಪತಿ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರಿ ಶಶಿವದನ ಶ್ರೀಕರ ಸರ್ವ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಪದೆ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸರ್ವ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಪದೆ ಆಶ್ರಿತ ಕಲ್ಪಲತೀಕಾ ಆಶ್ರಿತ ಕಲ್ಪಲತೀಕಾ ಆಧವ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರಿ ಮಾತ ಪಿತಾ ಗುರುದೇವ ಮರೆ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮರೆ ಅಂತಯು ನೀವೆ ನಾದ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ನಾದ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ನಾಗೇಂದ್ರ ಶಯನ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರಿ ಓಂಕಾರ ರೂಪ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಾಯಿ ಮಹಾದೇವ ಸತ್ಯ ಸಾಯಿ ಮಹಾದೇವ ಮಂಗಳ ಮಂಗಳಾರತಿ ಅಂದುಕೋ ಮಂದರಗಿರಿ ಭಾರಿ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಜಗದೀಶ ಹರೇ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯ ನಾರಾಯಣ 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 ಓಂ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಸತ್ಯ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಸದ್ಗುರುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ 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 ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಓಂ ಜಯ ಸದ್ಗುರುದೇವ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸತ್ಯನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಾರಾಯಣ
ಸುಖಿನೋ ಭವಂತು ಓ